following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Thursday, October the 26th. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome all of our audience that are watching and listening. You guys that are on podcasts on Apple or by Spotify. And of course, you guys that are watching the visual of this on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Rumble Live. And you guys will be watching the rebroadcast of this as well. We want to welcome to the program. Tonight, I want to talk about something that really is personal to me, something that I have been burdened with for over a week now. And then last night was kind of like the final straw for me that I knew that the Lord would have me to lead us tonight into a prayer session. So we're going to do that at the end of this segment. So I'm going to talk about some stuff. And then we're going to do a specific targeting prayer session at the end of this segment. So, and also, I want to share a dream with you that I had in the wee hours of early this morning. So without further ado, let's get after it. All right, once again, welcome everybody to the broadcast. We want to, again, welcome everybody that's watching. If it's your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you are new, where you guys are joining us from. Don't forget to pick up your free app today. Download it today off of our Apple and Android Play stores. You can get it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. You're going to be informed of every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. And of course, don't forget to hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification so that you can be notified on these platforms. And it helps push our material out on the algorithms. So I'm going to start off with an article. And then we're going to go from there. We're going to end in a prayer session at the end of this thing, but I'm going to give you this article. Now, we reported on this on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Earth's vital signs, worse than at any time in human history. Let me say that again. According to scientists, they are warning that the vital signs of Earth itself are worse than at any time in history. They say that life on planet Earth is now in peril, and it is becoming unsustainable for our future. Now, of course, this article doesn't take very much to go into. You don't even get past the first paragraph without the climate change propaganda. But I looked at this in a different angle than what even the context is. So basically what they're talking about in this article, they're talking about the extreme weather events, the global temperatures, the sea level rises, all these things that are happening. And again, I don't want to take the angle of the climate change aspect of this and environmental changes as far as that goes. But I look at this as from the Holy Spirit's perspective, I look at this headline as Earth's vital signs are worse than any time in human history. Again, this echoes birth pangs to me. Again, you've heard us talk about this multiple times on this program. In Romans 8, the Apostle Paul, he gives a description of the earth itself, and he talks about that it will enter in as we get closer to the return of the Son of Man from heaven. It will enter into intense labor pains. And he talks about this, and he says that the whole creation, earth itself, will travail and go into birth pains. So again, when I see this article from The Guardian, that's what it reminds me of. That's what comes to my mind. And I think about all the things that you think about, everything that's going on right now. In Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, the wars and rumors of wars, the nation against nation, the kingdom against kingdom, the pestilence, the famines and the earthquakes and all these things. Of course, they're intensifying. And of course, we're in perilous times. But I don't think, guys, as believers that we're truly grasping this. I think what has happened is, and I want to try to choose my words wisely here. We have become cradled to sleep, per se, from oversaturation of Bible prophecy. Now, I know this is going to be very controversial, what I just said here, but hear me out. There was, you know, for all of you guys that are older like myself, I remember all the way back in when I first got saved in 2000, I was introduced to a book by Hal Lindsey, The Great Late Planet Earth. This was the first book I ever read on Bible prophecy, and I was so intrigued and so hooked on it that I couldn't set it down. I just read this thing from cover to cover and just read it all the way through. And there was such a burden that came on me to reach the lost. There was such an anticipation of prophetic events that would take place in the future. This is what really kind of I cut my teeth on when I was being introduced to eschatology or the study of end times. But, you know, during that same era, that time frame, you had all the Left Behind books and the novels. You had the Jack Van Impe of his day when he was in his prime. He was there and he was a real catalyst of Bible prophecy. You had Hal Lindsey. You had Jack Van Impe. You had Grant Jeffries. I call these the fathers of Bible prophecy. Now, there is only a few handful of them that are still around, that are still doing it. Because many of these, most of these have finished a race and they've gone on to be with the Lord. So the baton is being passed to the next generation. That the mandate, the mantle, if you would, is being passed to the next generation. So other ministers like myself who's called in this area are taking those mantles. We're taking those the baton and we're running with it. But over time, the recipients, we can become calloused to Bible prophecy and the events of it because we've been oversaturated with so much of it that we almost become dull to it. We become numb to it. I hope this makes sense to anybody. I'm not undermining Bible prophecy. I'd be shooting myself in my own foot if I was doing that. I'm not saying that. If anything, I'm saying that don't allow frustrations, disappointments, letdowns, failures, misinformation, all these things discourage you from studying the times of the end or knowing the times and the signs or the signs and times that we're in. And I'm going somewhere with all this tonight, okay? Now, having said that, I truly believe that we have entered into, and you've heard me say this repeatedly, and I'm not the only one saying this. Every major Bible prophecy preacher and teacher out there is echoing the exact same thing that I'm telling you today on this broadcast. And that is, things are different this time. It's not like in the past seasons. Yes, we've had wars and rumors of wars. But I truly believe, listen to me clearly, we are on the precipice of entering into a time frame that is very similar to the 1930s, 1940s. We're on the precipice of entering into a time frame of such intense sorrows, and that in the Greek, that is birth pangs, travail, that it's going to replicate. It's going to look like World War II. In fact, we could just, let's just go ahead and call it what it is. Let's call a spade a spade. We are on the precipice of World War III. I mean, here's a headline from Michael Snyder. Will Israel use nuclear weapons against Iran and Hezbollah? Again, this is a question. Will Israel resort to nuclear weapons? I remember even a Jewish pundit from Fox News, Mark Levine, said Israel could even resort to what he calls the Samson option if its very existence is threatened. Now, what are we talking about? Well, I'm going to pull up this clip And I'm going to let you hear this little short interview here.
Then them do whatever they have to do to win. So put that on the table of debate now. What are they going to do if they're surrounded? What are they going to do if 150,000 advanced missiles are going to be shot? What are they going to do if Iran gets involved? Well, they can't win a conventional war. What are they going to do? I think I know what they'd do. I know what we would do. We would destroy the enemy, because otherwise we're exterminated. That's all I have to say.
Well, Mark, you brought up nuclear war, I mean, essentially. And also, we're talking about America's involvement. And how, as
no,
this
we're not.
Expands...
No, we're but, not. No, we're not. No, we're not. If you drop... Look.
I'm Rachel, sorry. I just...
Hold on. Yeah. Rachel, when you ask questions like that, you need to answer them. Not just ask them. What are they going to do if there's multiple front war? What are they going to do if they have kidnaps or hostages, another hostage? What are they going to do? Die, I guess.
We had a general on earlier in the show who said that our military is not doing well. You know, recruitments are low. They're not focused. He described a military that's not prepared in many ways, and yet there we are in Ukraine. We could have another front here. China's on the move. I mean, this has to be, we have to pause and think a little bit here.
Because it just sounds like a roll towards war. Honestly, I don't know what you're talking about. What does Ukraine have to do with this and China have to do? I'm talking about what the Israelis are going to
do. The Israelis have their issue, but I'm concerned that a lot of the talk that's going on now is about involving the United States. And that's another matter. And it's not anti-Semitic to say that we as Americans should take a pause.
Okay, look, I didn't say it was anti-Semitic. That's number one. So I don't appreciate that either. Number two, the Israelis haven't asked us to get involved. They asked us to give them equipment. Number three, they have their own arsenal, which they never admit. So while you bring up all these issues to me, which kind of fogs precisely, you're the Prime Minister of Israel. You're about to send hundreds of thousands of your troops in to take out the enemy once and for all. We saw the slaughter that took place. He's not thinking about Ukraine or China, neither are we. And I'm saying to you this, I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes it's tough. If Israel is going to face annihilation, you think they have those nukes in there to collect dust? I'm not even encouraging anything be done. I'm not even saying nuke them, nuke them, nuke them. I am saying Iran needs to understand, and Hezbollah needs to understand, that if you think you're going to wipe out these people, you're not. And so we have to deal with reality. And reality is, but America's involved in this. America, I said they're going to drop them. In my opinion, they might. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm the only one bringing this up. I'm not even encouraging it. But if you're a country that has that kind of weaponry and your people are going to be slaughtered as they were, except this time totally destroyed, they need to be thinking about all their options. And my guess is they are. I don't know. So when we go on TV and say, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? They're surrounded. They're going to wipe them out. We can't send troops. We can't. Fine. But if I'm the president or prime minister of Israel, I got to think it all through.
All right. So if you guys were wondering what the Samson option is, if you remember in the Bible, remember when Samson, he was messing around with Delilah. He used to destroy the Philistines. He took a jawbone of a donkey and he wiped out hundreds of Philistines or thousands of them. And then he lost the anointing because he was playing around with Delilah. Then he got the anointing back, and then the Philistines came, and in the end he pulled the pillars of the temple down upon himself. So he sacrificed his own life to save Israel and to wipe out the Philistines in the result. So this is what this is. The Samson option is a nuclear option for Israel to preserve their existence. And this is what Mark Levine's talking about. Now, if we're going to talk about America's involvement, according to the latest report, Israel has agreed to delay their Gaza invasion because the White House has convinced them to delay it in order to send more Iron Dome batteries to Israel. According to the Wall Street Journal, Israel has agreed to delay an expected invasion of Gaza. However, they didn't fully delay the invasion. There was troops that went in overnight. However, they're talking about on the scale in which they have been talking about for 3 weeks now, going on four. Israel has agreed to delay an expected invasion of Gaza for now so that the U.S. can rush missile defenses to the region to protect U.S. troops there. So, is America involved? It sure sounds like it to me. It sure sounds like that we're at war with Iran, is what it sounds like to me. According to the Wall Street Journal, U.S. officials have so far persuaded Israel to hold off until U.S. air defense systems can be placed in the region as early as later this week. Israel is also taking into account its planning the effort to supply humanitarian aid inside of Gaza, as well as diplomatic efforts to free hostages held by Hamas militants. The report goes on to say that threats to the U.S. troops were of paramount concern. The report indicates that the U.S. military and other officials believe their forces will be targeted and have already been targeted by militant groups once Israel launches its full ground invasion into the Palestinian Hamas territory. Meanwhile, Russia has indicated that it has, quote, rehearsed a massive nuclear strike. According to the BBC News, Russia has rehearsed its ability to deliver a massive nuclear strike, according to the Kremlin. The military exercise involved delivering a, quote, response to an enemy nuclear strike. According to state TV, they appeared to show him recounting the rehearsal to President Putin. It comes as Russia's parliament backed the withdrawal of Moscow's ratification of a global treaty that bans all physical testing of nuclear warheads. Russia and U.S. conduct regular nuclear readiness simulations. Moscow has traditionally held its own towards the end of October. The exercises this year involved delivering a massive nuclear strike by strategic offensive forces in response to an enemy nuclear strike. Excuse me. So you have this going on. You have China that has sent warships there. You have North Korea that has threatened a nuclear war against us. You've got Iran that has threatened us. You've got all this going on. So again, we are on, I'm going to go back to that Guardian article. Remember, Earth's vital signs are worse than at any time in human history. This is why I keep stressing that things are different this time. The enemy would love for us to lower our guard, to ease up on our intercession, ease up on our prayer, ease up on our preparation and readiness and our urgency to preach the gospel, to witness the gospel, to warn others of what's going on, because he wants to convince us that everything is just going to normalize and it's going to go back to normal. Well, how did that work for us with the pandemic? Nothing went back to normal. If you think the world is normal after the pandemic, I don't know what world you lived in, because it definitely does not look the same. The workforce changed, attitudes changed, mentalities changed. Even the world we know, listen, I venture to say that in my generation, so we're going to use I'm 46 years of age, going on 47. We're going to use a 40-year period of time because that's generally the age of a generation, somewhere between 40 and 70 years. So we're just going to say a generation. The three major events in my lifetime that changed everything was 9/11, the pandemic, and what we're about to step into. If this thing does not fizzle out, and I just don't, and I could be wrong. Listen, we would hope that things fizzle out with this, that the wick to the powder keg just fizzles out, but it does not look like that's going to happen. If anything, this thing looks like it's about to fully ignite. The powder keg is about to explode like never before, and it's not just going to impact Israel and Palestine. It's going to be widespread. It's going to be regional. And again, as all the pundits are saying, the experts are saying, the military analysts are saying, it will thrust us right into World War III. And we've talked about that, that spirit that's operating behind all this evil, this wickedness, the hostility towards the Jewish people. This thing is just rearing its ugly head. Look what's going on in America, guys. Here's a report. This is from New York City here in America. This is embarrassing. As Americans, Jewish students were forced to take shelter in a college library in New York as demonstrators are seen and heard pounding on the doors that were locked and shut for the safety of the small group of Jewish students here. Demonstrators were pounding on the doors, shouting, "Free Palestine." Let me show you a little video clip of this. So again, you can hear them chanting and shouting and pounding on the door. Let's listen to one. And there was other footage of this that circulated across the library as well. We don't have that footage to pull up, but there's other angles, other footage of this. Again, this is unbelievable that this is happening in America. And then, of course, we had this terrible, heinous act of terrorism, murder, in cold blood. A former military in Lewiston, Maine, went into a bowling alley and a restaurant, gunned down 22 individuals dead, over, 50 injured. And the man is still on the loose. They still have not found this man. Late last night in Maine, and I think we have some listeners and viewers that are watching that's from this area. Our heart goes out to you. This is absolutely horrific. This will go down once again as another mass shooting, one of the worst mass shootings in American history. This massive manhunt is underway in Maine. Again, after a mass shooting that spanned two locations on Wednesday night, left at least 22 dead and 30 wounded. So that number was like 50. So I guess they keep changing this. They don't have all the full information on this. Maine Public Safety Commissioner said in a late night news conference, the law enforcement is not yet confirming an exact number of victims. So see, again, this is all going to change. This is how this always goes, guys. Since the situation remains, quote, very fluid, and you could do what you want with that, but Wednesday's death toll, is staggering for a state that recorded 29 homicides for the whole year of 2022. While a suspect has not yet been named, the Lewiston Police Department identified 40-year-old Robert R. Card from Bodine, I don't know how you say that, Bodine, Maine, as a person of interest Wednesday night. According to an internal Maine Information and Analysis Center bulletin that was obtained by Fox News, Card is a firearms instructor and has military experience. This is probably why he is able to evade police officers as he's done. The report indicates that Card may have in his possession a police scanner and could be actively listening to some of their movements. The FBI has added dozens of agents to the scene over the past few hours to assist local law enforcement. Again, so they've got a lockdown, it's shelter in place. I'm not sure if that's been lifted, but I'm pretty sure it's not. All through these areas of Maine where this has taken place. And Card is believed to be in the Army Reserve Station out of Saco, Maine. According to the bulletin, authorities said Card should not be approached if seen as he is considered, quote, armed and dangerous. So here's a map. I want to show you that this is where the two incidents took place. One of these was at a bar and grill, and the other one was at a bowling alley. So you can see this on the map here. If you live in this region, this is where all this took place. So this yet another tragedy, but it's indicating, guys, that we're living in these perilous, troubling, dangerous, treacherous times. Not only in the Middle East, but right here at the home front. All right, so we've went about 30 minutes or so, and now I want to kind of shift gears, and I just want to share my heart with you, and we're going to close this podcast. We're going to pray. I'm going to share some stuff with you. Then we're going to do a prayer segment, and then we're going to close this podcast. I believe with all my heart that as we get closer to the return of the Lord, things are not going to get better. I don't know if you're listening to some preacher that's telling you that our greatest days are ahead, and it's going to be lollipops and sunshine, and it's going to be America's going to be great again, and all this stuff. Guys, they don't know the Bible. That is totally contrary to Scripture. Perilous times are coming. Dark times are coming. Evil days will wax worse. The love of many will grow cold. The Bible says that men will no longer be lovers of God, but lovers of themselves. They'll have no self-control. They'll be brutish. They'll be wicked. They'll be full of abominations, as it were in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the return of Son of Man, as it were in the days of Lot. So shall it be in the return of Son of Man. So again, we have distinguished that. I think our audience knows this. We're not of the persuasion of the motivational speakers that has riddled Christian television, that are false prophets luring people asleep with nonsense. We are in the times of the end. And there is a verse I want to give you. And it is found in the book of Psalms 46. Let me pull it up, because I want to read this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's not a past tense help in trouble. He is now, present tense, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear what's going on in the Middle East. We will not fear what's going on in the home front. Even though the earth be removed. Think about it, church. Even though what we see with our physical eyes, what we see on the news, what we hear about, the wars, the rumors of wars, the nation against nation, the kingdom against kingdom, the violence, the anti-Semitism, the violence that's covering the earth, though the earth itself be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, disasters, earthquakes, tsunamis, all of it, the birth pangs increase. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Although all this stuff is going on, the psalmist said, there is something that you have to remember. And I've come by tonight to remind you that even though what you see is troubling, it's fearsome, it can cause extreme anxiety and worry and trouble. I want to come by and remind you that in Psalms 46, verse 4, even though all these things are happening, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Come on, somebody. Our citizenship is not here. It is not here. We are sojourners, Paul said. We are pilgrims in a world that is not our world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are temporarily passing through, but there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Nations may fall. My friend, America may fall. That is a reality. America could very well fall as the leading empire. We could see our last days even soon. sooner than what we anticipated. We could be destroyed in 1 hour's time. But I've come by to remind you today that we have a city in heaven that will never be moved. God will help her. Verse 5, just at the break of dawn, the nations are raging. The kingdoms shall be moved. But he is uttering his voice, and the earth shall melt at his voice. Come on, saints. The Lord of hosts is with us. Look, I don't know if the Lord is with them, but I know that he's with us. I know that he makes a distinction between us and them. I know that he makes a distinction between his people and them. I know that he makes a distinction between those who serve him and those who do not. Those who have a promise with him, those who have a covenant with him, and those who do not. Read your Bible. It's there. I said the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Friend, everything that we're seeing, everything that we're watching, God is not taken by surprise. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. We are beholding the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. God can stop this war in the Middle East if he desired. He could stop this war with Ukraine and Russia if he desired. Why, Brother Ricky, is he allowing it? Why is he allowing these wars to come? Why is he allowing these escalations to come? Guys, I don't have time, 30 minutes, to develop that whole message, but let me give you the short cliff notes of it. Number one, he's allowing it because prophecy has to be fulfilled. Number two is because judgment. Listen, guys, there's a threefold method that God uses. Okay? There is what's called chastisements, there is what's called judgments, and there's what's called the wrath of God. Let me say that again. This is the level of severity that we get to, even as believers. As believers, God deals with us through chastisement. For whom the Lord loves, he chastises. Okay? As a father, his own son. So we endure chastisement, but if we don't yield to that, if we don't learn from those things, if we don't repent and obey, then God has no choice but to move from the level of chastisement to judgment. But I'm going to tell you, the earth, society, civilization, the nations of the world, Matthew 25, will all be judged during the great tribulation, wherein which God himself will not chastise the world during that time. No, he will not bring selective judgments during that time. He will be pouring out the wrath of God. In fact, if you want to get technical about it, it's called the wrath of the Lamb and the wrath of God. And it's all poured out during the Great Tribulation. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. I love what verse 10 says. So think about this, church. He goes through all this stuff. You're going to see desolations, destruction, the earth be moved out of its place. Birth pangs are going to increase. The pulse of the earth will intensify. You're going to see the intensification of false prophets and pestilences and diseases and all these things that will come as birth pangs. And he says that the nations will rage. There will be such violence that will cover the earth. But then he gets all the way down here. And then he reminds us, you got to remember, there is a place in heaven that cannot be moved. It cannot be touched. It cannot be desecrated. It cannot be invaded. It cannot be infiltrated. Come on, somebody. And it is the kingdom of heaven that is awaiting the saints that are in covenant with him. But then he gets down to verse 10 and he tells you here, look, I know you're still on the earth and these things are for a future time. It's for a future tense. It's the blessed hope in which we're looking for. But I got to tell you this one thing while we're waiting. And that is in verse 10 of Psalms 46, he says, be still and know that I am God. But Brother Ricky, the war is intensifying. Be still. and know that he is God. But Brother Ricky, look what's going on. Look at the shootings. Look at the violence. Look at the anti-Semitism. Look at the civil unrest. Look at the abominations that's going on. Be still and know that he is God. Yes, but look at what America's come to. Look at the White House. Look at what's going on morally in our country. Be still and know that he is God. Oh, he says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Who's going to be exalted among the nations? Hamas? No. Terrorism? No. The enemy? No. Satan? No. God will be exalted among the nations. God will be exalted in the earth. Come on, I want to know. Listen, if you think that the enemy has won, you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. Come on, you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. God says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And then he closes with verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, why did I tell you this? Why did I just preach this little sermonette to you here? Because I want you to understand, friends, I believe with all of my heart. In fact, for about 7 days now, I have wrestled with some of the most intense heaviness that I have felt in a long time. I'm talking about oppression, heaviness, troubled in my spirit. I mean, I'm talking about to the point where there was days I didn't feel like interceding. I didn't feel like praying. I just wanted to crawl in bed and just go back to sleep. It was so bad. And I kept wrestling with this. Lord, what is this? And I felt like you've got to remember, guys, according to the book of John, if you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, and he leads you, he guides you, he comforts you. And the Bible says he will show you things to come. You can go to Romans 8, and it says, when you know not what you ought to pray, he talks about praying in the Spirit. Let me show you this. We just pulled this up here earlier. This is Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Your translation probably says infirmities. It's the same understanding in Greek. It doesn't just mean physical weaknesses. It means weakness in general. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in these weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Come on, has anybody ever had a burden or a heaviness and you don't even know how to pray? You don't know what to pray. Look what it says. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who is he? The Holy Spirit. So I'm trying to tell you that if you've been saved and born again and you have your prayer language, now is the time more than ever. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. We're not talking about, I'm not going to address you publicly in speaking in tongues. So don't get bent out of shape. You get all these people that get bent out of shape with this. Well, you better not be praying in tongues unless you give an interpretation publicly. Listen, if I'm calling us to prayer and I'm praying in the Spirit, I don't need to give an interpretation because I'm not talking to you. I'm speaking to God. But if I'm giving you a sermon, I'm giving you a message, I'm giving you an exhortation, and I speak in tongues and give you no words of understanding or interpretation, then I'm out of order according to 1 Corinthians. Okay, does everybody understand that? So what I'm saying is, Jude said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God and pray in the Spirit. Why? Because we are, listen to me. We're entering into treacherous times where we better have a prayer language. We better be praying in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God is going to navigate us through dark and treacherous times. And I believe with all my heart, this whole week has been burdensome to me. I have spoken to multiple individuals privately, off the cuff, and I'm going to share with you what I've shared with them privately. And I said, I believe we're about to enter a twofold season of these intense birth pangs. On one hand, we're going to see the intensification of everything that we just discussed the first 30 minutes of this program, the violence, the wickedness, the wars, the rumors of wars, all this stuff, it's only going to increase like labor pains. You're going to see that. And I'll talk more in detail about that in just a second. Then on the other hand, get ready to see this because we're already seeing it now. We're going to see an increase of God pouring out his spirit. Okay? Now, again, so twofold, right in the midst of the dark times, the perilous times, the intense labor pains, right in the midst of all that, as it waxes worse, you're also going to see God is going to begin to pour out his spirit upon the hungry and those in a dry and thirsty land. Those, the deep calls into deep, he's calling to that. So, and that's what's happening. Even now, there was a report. This was from, let me pull up this article. This was CBN News. Now, this was from, this is right here in my neck of the woods. This is literally an hour from me, and I plan on being a part of this. In fact, we're going to be going out there and be a part of this. Hundreds rush to the altar at Free Chapel service. This is Jensen Franklin's church out there at the Gainesville campus. And to get right with God, leaders point to revival. What started out as Jensen was doing a series on the end times, he had different speakers come, and then Perry Stone came on a Sunday night and kind of gave a prophetic message of where we're at and the need of getting right with God. And the altars just flooded with people repenting and giving their heart to the Lord. So they felt that God's spirit was moving so mightily that they didn't want to stop what God was doing. So they've extended the services. They went Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, tonight, tomorrow night. And they're taking a break Saturday night. And from what I understand, they're going to continue on Sunday. We don't know what the Lord's going to continue to do with it. So this is a, what is this? Well, according again to the book of Acts chapter 3, the Bible says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So the word revival, you're not going to find that in the Bible, but the word refreshing is where we derive the word revival, or to revive something that was once alive and make it living again. It's refreshing. So the word refreshing there, times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. It's like someone who is famished, who is in a drought, who is they're basically in a state of dehydration. They're in need of water. They're depleted of water, and it's like someone taking a bucket of water and throwing it on them. Them finding an oasis where they can drink from, they can bathe in, and this is what the Lord desires to do for his people. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, I can't find any scripture for that. Friend, listen, I used to be in your camp. For years, I taught that nowhere in scripture can I find that God is pouring out his spirit in the last days, because Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 30 was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room. And that's been an ongoing thing, but it's not a one-time event in the future. However, as I began to study more deeply, I discovered in James chapter 5, the book of Haggai talks about everything that can be shaken, heaven and earth, sea, and the dry land will be shaken, and the former, the latter glory shall be greater than the former. James chapter 5 says there's coming a former and latter rain. And if you read that in James chapter 5, he says it's all based on souls, because the precious husbandman, the farmer is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth to come into the kingdom. So yes, God is going to continue to pour out his spirit all the way up until the dispensation of the grace of God has come to an end. Romans chapter 11, when that time has come, I believe is when the catching away, the gathering together, the rapture of the church takes place. God shifts his focus to the Jews, and that's where we enter into the tribulation. But don't miss my point. There is coming, and we're in it. We're entering into this perilous time where we're going to, let me go back to Psalms, what was it, 46? I believe it's Psalms 46. I want to make sure. Yes, Psalms 46. We're coming to a time where we're going to visually see and hear things that is going to try to move us. They're going to try to shake us. They're going to try to bring us into despair, anxiety, worry, and fear. We're going to see things, guys. In fact, Luke 21 says, Jesus said that men's hearts will fail them from fear of the expectation of the things coming upon the earth. So we're going to see things. But we have to hold on to God and believe that He's still on the throne. He's still God. He's still got a kingdom in heaven awaiting, the precious saints of God that have a covenant with Him. All this is awaiting us, and that we are just sojourners passing through. He said, well, Brother Ricky, what if we lose our life? Guys, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. You can't threaten a Christian with heaven. You can't threaten a Christian with eternal life. We're all appointed once to die and then the judgment. Listen, I would love for all of us not to see physical death and be caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. But the reality is there's going to be the dead in Christ, and there's going to be the alive and remain that shall be caught up. So listen, I don't either. Whether I go in the grave and come up out of the grave or go in the air, I don't care, as long as I'm going. Amen. Come on, can I get a witness right there? As long as I'm going, I just want to go. I just want to go. I just want to be there. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. So around 5 a.m., and it was longer than that, all through the wee hours of the night last night, I had a dream in which I was standing, I was in the streets of America. And I saw a revival taking place. I saw young people. I saw middle-aged people. I saw older people. I saw all age backgrounds, all ethnicities, women, men, children. And they were crying out to the Lord. People were weeping in joy as people were getting saved. People were getting delivered. People were getting healed. People were coming to the Lord. I'm talking about masses of people. I saw this. This was early in the morning. And then the dream shifted. After, I don't know how long, it felt like it was hours into this dream. I was so shook in my spirit from the joy and excitement. And then the dream shifted, and I was standing somewhere. I don't know where it was at, but it was a major city in America. And I saw a small tactical nuke hit right in the heart of a city. And I saw this massive mushroom cloud come up, and I'm telling you, I was standing there and I could feel the fear grip my heart. I could feel the dread. I could feel the darkness as soon as that took place. In fact, the fear was so intense. And this is not the first time I've had these dreams, guys. I've had these multiple times like this, and it woke me straight out of the bed. And this was, I remember the first thing I did, I grabbed my phone and looked, and it was 5:30 in the morning Eastern time. And my eyes were filled with tears. I began to weep in my bed. And it took me a long time to get back to sleep because I was so shook about what I saw. Again, remember what I said. I saw the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the outpouring of God in the streets of America. But then I saw the worst case scenario. I saw us at war, not in the Middle East, not in Iran, not in Gaza, not in Israel. I saw a war come to our home front. Listen, I'm going to stand here and tell you right now, was it of God, my dream of God? I don't know. Am I troubled in my spirit over it? Yes. Again, let me clarify that. I'm not saying the Lord showed me or God showed me. I'm simply saying I had a dream, and whether it's of God or not, I'm not going to debate that, argue with that, or try to sit here and wrestle with that all night, because the reality is I'm going to respond to the dream like we're supposed to respond to this and everything that's going on right now. So this is where we're going to shift. So right now, how much time we got left? We've got about 10 minutes. We are going to pray. I want everyone that physically can pray with us. If you're driving a car, just keep your eyes on the road and pray. If you're working, just pray under your breath. I want agreement with everyone that's watching and listening. Just, we're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for you guys that are not in America, but you're outside of America. Because listen, and this covers all of the West. Because if World War III breaks out, friend, you're going to be involved. It don't matter where you're at. Okay? So we need to pray like never before. So let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come to you. Lord, we come to you. You said if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. Lord, you said where there are two or more gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. I thank you, Father, for the gathering of brothers and sisters of this ecclesia. They have gathered this night on this Thursday, October the 26th. We gather for one intent, one purpose. Lord, we're gathering together in intercession and prayer. We come before you now, Heavenly Father. God, we lift up our nation to you, whatever that looks like. To you. We lift it up to you. We lift up our nation to you. We lift up its leadership. We lift up its president. We lift up its prime minister. We pray for not only America. We don't only pray for Britain. We don't only pray for Australia. We don't pray for just Africa. We don't pray for just nations that are involved here tonight that are represented, but we pray for the nation of Israel. You commanded us as believers to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that it may be well with you. God, we ask right now in Jesus' name. God, we come, Lord, to you, and we're praying to the best of our ability. Lord, if we're praying, Lord, I pray that there be some that are listening tonight, that are watching tonight, that are in agreement tonight, that the Holy Spirit wants to pray out of you. Come on, just open your mouth and let him pray. According to Romans 8, when you know not what you ought to pray, let the Spirit of God begin to pray out of you. Let him pray the will of God. Let him pray and know and search the mind of God in Jesus' name. Father, we lift up the nations of the world to you, God. We are in perilous times. We acknowledge that we are in biblical times. We are in prophetic times. We're coming to the fullness of time. And God, we've got to be ready. We've got to be waiting. We've got to be prepared. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, if there be anybody under the sound of my voice that's listening, that's watching, and they're away from God, they don't know God, I pray right now that we would get right with God in Jesus' name, that we would open our mouth, that we begin to profess Jesus Christ as our Lord. We would begin to repent of our sins, repent of our transgressions, repent of our iniquities. We would begin to repent of our lukewarmness, our passivity. We repent now in Jesus' name. And we say, Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you'd forgive me and wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness, that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit of promise, seal me into the day of redemption, put my name in the Lamb's book of life, God, so that although the earth may be moved, the mountains may be shaken, and islands be moved out of their place, this one thing we will not fear, this one thing that we know, that you're still on the throne, you're still in control, you're still in power, and everything is going just as planned from the foundation of the world. God, we thank you that Bible prophecy is accelerating. The birth pangs of the Messiah are accelerating. Intensifying at levels we've never seen, we've never experienced. God, you even said in your word that we may be prepared and we may know that when the day comes that we would already know that there will come a time when men would rise up against us and they would have tried to kill us thinking that they're doing God's service. Lord, you said the time would come when things would be so perilous upon the earth that the very men's hearts would fail them for the very expectation of the things that are coming upon the earth. You said there'd be great and fearful sights from heaven. You said upon the earth there'd be distress of nations. There'd be perplexity. There'd be the waves and the seas roaring, Lord. And so I'm asking that you would prepare the body. You would prepare us, Lord, in Jesus' name, God. Lord, that you would release mighty warring angels to be a part of our homes, to be a part of our families, God. Lord, for every individual that's representing here tonight, the high priest of your home. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. The psalmist said, we know that God is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our God, and he shall not fail us. He shall not let us down. He shall not, he who keeps Israel neither sleeps nor does he slumber. But God, I thank you, Lord, that you're able to sustain, protect, and preserve your saints, God. You said, and 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh our dwelling. You said, only with our eyes shall we see and look and see. Behold, the reward of the wicked. No pestilence shall come nigh our dwelling. Lord, the sword shall not prevail against us. Pestilence at noonday, darkness in the midnight hour. Lord, it shall not come upon us. Why? Because we have made the Lord our God, our refuge, even the Lord Jesus, the Most High. Lord, we thank you today. God, I ask that you'd protect our troops, protect those boys over there, protect those men and women over there in uniform that are being sent from America, sent from Britain, sent from France, sent from the UK. Lord, protect those individuals in those uniforms, protect our police department, protect those that are trying to watch over and protect our nation, protect our cities, and protect our country. God, may no knife prevail against them, no bomb harm them, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. God, I thank you, Lord, even though there's a prince of Persia, a prince of Grecia in the Middle East, I thank you that there is a prince called Michael. He is the archangel. He is the one that keeps Israel. He is able to protect, defend, and preserve. God, and I thank you, Lord, that he is active in the earth today. I thank you, Lord. We profess the blood of Jesus over every individual tonight, over your household, over my household, over your family, over my family, over your children, over my children. Hallelujah. He shandarabosundrebaka, yandaribosundribaka, tariandarabokorebakati. Your Lord, I thank you that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear you. I thank you that he delivers us out of all of our troubles, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're able to preserve us through the blood of Jesus and through the will of God that you have for our lives, Lord God. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, you said if we repent, you said that there is a refreshing that's contingent upon repentance. I ask, Lord, that every household that's represented tonight, that's watching, that's listening, that they have their hands up, they have their eyes lifted up, they're in anticipation and expectation with faith. God, I pray, Lord, just as in the days of you did in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, just like you did then, the same spirit, the same outpouring, I pray that it begin to be unleashed in homes even now, that you would open the windows of heaven and that you'd begin to pour out your spirit upon all flesh right now, sons, daughters, men, women, husbands, wives, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, right there in those households, right there in those kitchens, right there in those vehicles, right there in that office space, right there where you're listening, right there where you're watching, may you be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. May you be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire in Jesus' name. God, you said we would need it. You commanded them to go into the upper room and tarry until they're filled with the promise of upon high, with the endowment of power. Lord, we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost because we're in treacherous, dangerous times. We need to be guided, led, and directed by the compass of the Holy Spirit, even when we step out of our household. There's people that are in Maine. Those people at that bowling alley, at that restaurant, they never anticipated. They never would have thought. It never crossed their mind that it would be their last day on earth. God, help us to know that we are but a vapor. We are but dust of the earth. Our days are numbered. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. But God, we've got to be anticipating. We've got to be prepared. We got to be watchful and prayed up in Jesus' name. God, we lift up that entire area. We lift up those communities that are hurting, that are reeling from this shooting, this mass shooting. God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would avenge the blood of the innocents that was shed. May this man be apprehended. May he be caught and brought to justice in Jesus' name. Until then, until that time, I pray that you'd preserve, protect, and keep those those in these communities where in which this man is. I pray that you would keep them from harm, danger, and disabling accidents in Jesus' name. I profess the blood of Jesus over these households. God, I pray that the Holy Ghost would expose this man to the authorities, to the FBI, the CIA, the police force. He would be exposed. You said those things that are done in darkness shall be made manifest to the light. So Lord, we just thank you and we trust you and we believe that your justice shall prevail in Jesus' name. Oh God, we pray for the victims and their families that have been involved in this. God, they're hurting. They're reeling. God, my heart breaks for them. Whew. Man, guys, I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the compassion of the Lord. People has lost their mothers, their fathers, their children, their aunts, their uncles, their grandmothers. People have lost family members. They're losing them in the Middle East. They're losing them here. There's innocent people. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Listen, some of y'all won't even pray for Palestinian people because of politics and whatnot. But I'm telling you, there is innocent people that are not terrorists, that are not on the side of evil, but they're caught in the middle of thousands of years of violence in the Middle East. And we need to pray for those people. Lift them up, God. Protect them and keep them. I pray the gospel of Jesus Christ would infiltrate the Palestine, the Gaza, the West Strip, Syria, Iran, all these locations. May they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Come on. Do you believe this, church? Are you praying this? Are you agreeing with Brother Ricky today? Come on. I'm telling you, I feel the Spirit of God today. People are being touched. People are being edified. People are being equipped. And I believe that no prayer falls on empty ground. It's not going to a brass heaven. The Bible says we can come boldly before the throne room of grace and obtain mercy in the time of need. And that's what we're doing on this program tonight. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please bookmark our main website. That's where you can find us. Again, download our free app available on Apple and Android devices. Just simply hit yes and push notifications and you're going to be good to go. If this ministry is a blessing to you, your family, your friends, your coworkers, you're exhorted, you're informed, you're edified, you're blessed on a week-to-week basis. Guys, we are a partner-based ministry, partner-funded ministry. None of our messages are charged. They're all free. The podcast is free. We don't charge for subscription. We don't sell merchandise. We don't sell any of this. All we ask is that you be obedient to the Lord and give as the Lord purposes on earth. Pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do it two different ways. You can give electronically through the main website, through the app. That's the easiest way. Or you can give right there on your screen and you can make it out to End Time Headlines through check or money order at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So as always, guys, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. And again, like, share, and hit that bell notification. I believe this will be a great blessing to many individuals that be a part of this broadcast. So listen, we're going to sign off. We'll be right back here tomorrow, Lord willing, October 27th, same place, same time, same channel, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Next week also, maybe Monday or Tuesday, I don't know yet, but I'm going to have Larry Raglan on. He's no stranger to the broadcast. Usually, typically, I go on with him. We're going to have him on, and I just want to kind of pick his brain and see what the Lord's speaking to him right now. And we're going to get him on, so be looking for that next week as well. So until then, guys, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.